When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's up, everybody? It's Steve Geller, Mike Dottiglia here at the Treasure Chest Casino for Sports Talk till 7 o'clock, and that's when Thursday night football takes over. Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, come on in, place your bets for this game and also the weekend action as well in college and NFL. Speaking of that, we're going to lead off this segment right off the bat, getting into our Pick 6 segment, which Charlie has expanded to Pick 8 this week. Mike, what you got for us, Charlie?
We're adding the two-point conversion this week, guys. It's a special edition, obviously, Conference Championship weekend. We have five conference championship games, and then I also picked three NFL games because it is a fun weekend in the NFL Week 14. Guys, I'm going to recap what happened last weekend. You know, I've been so hit or miss this year. That's why I've, like, avoided actually putting money on my picks, because I'll have a week where I go 0-6, and then I have a week where I go 5-1. And this was one of the good weeks for me, so yay me. I went 5-1 this past week. I won. Mike, you and Bobby both went 4-2. Steve at 3-3 this past week, resetting the standings. I'm at 44-34. Mike, you're at 41-37. Bobby's at 36-42. And Steve, you are at 39-39. The real difference, Mike, in this one was South Carolina-Clemson. That was the only different game that we had. South Carolina, man, to say they hung on in that game would be an understatement. It was a real fun game to watch. And we will have Clemson in this week's matchups. But we're actually going to start Friday night, the American Athletic Championship game, guys. Tulane, 5-point favorites at number 24, Army. They could have been hosting this game at Yeoman Stadium, but obviously we all know what happened on Thanksgiving night to Memphis. So they have to travel to number 24, Army, but they still are 5-point favorites.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the wave in this one. Give me Tulane, even though it is at Army. Going to be interesting to see the conditions there as well. It might be a little chilly for Tulane, but I know Coach Summerall definitely had this team ready, confident in Tulane in the matchup.
I'm going Tulane. I think Army keeps it close early, and then I think Tulane, with their speed on the edges at wide receiver, they'll break some big plays with their wide receiver core. They just got to learn how to hold the ball. Come on, you catch it, you got to hold on to it. Can't fumble it. Tulane.
A couple big drops in that game, obviously, against, well, not even drops, the fumbles on the big plays with, downfield with those wide receivers. I'm with Tulane as well here, guys. Bobby's got Army plus 5, so that's kind of interesting, an early difference here. But give me Tulane minus 5. I think that, you know, obviously Memphis's athletes offensively, you're not really going to see that with Army. Moving on, Sun Belt Championship game. Marshall at Louisiana. My Cajuns 6-point favorites at home in this one. Bobby's got UL. Y'all already know who I have to go with. I'm not feeling great about this pick, but it's just the ultimate homer pick. It's how Bobby always picks the Saints every single week. Give me the Cajuns minus 6 against Marshall.
I'm not going against the Cajuns either. I'm sticking with the home team.
Yeah, I'll go Raging Cajuns.
Sweep!
And 6. But they better block that dude, that Reed, coming off the edge. Man, he's a one-man show for them. You talk about they don't have a lot of pass rushers in college football. Take a look at that guy. UL better have two guys block him.
Yeah, it's like we were saying the other day, Mike put two hats on him. He's got 16 sacks this year, Mike Green for Marshall. So if any Cajuns fans are a little bit concerned, that's where you really should direct your concern for. UL, the reason I'm a little bit concerned with this one, guys, is that Ben Woolridge is not going to be playing in this game as far as I know. I think he's going to be out for at least a few more weeks. He may play in the Cajuns bowl game, but he suffered an injury late in the year. That's the Sun Belt Offensive Player of the Year that they'll be missing. So I'm a little bit concerned, but in Chandler Fields, I trust Cajuns minus 6. Moving on, we got the SEC Championship game. the ultimate Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde team in Georgia, the number five team in the country, versus number two Texas. Texas opens as 2.5-point favorites in Atlanta, despite losing by 15 in Austin just a couple weeks ago to this Georgia team.
Texas. I think they're a better team. Revenge.
I'm going to go with the Bulldogs here. I think they get it again.
So Bobby's got Texas. Yeah, I'll go Georgia. I mean, I don't know. It's such a weird pick. But give me the Bulldogs. They're so hot and cold. But just seeing how they handled Texas the last time they played, yeah, give me the Bulldogs in this one. And they lock up, you know, their playoff berth. The Big Ten championship game here, guys. 3 Penn State versus number 1 Oregon. Oregon 3.5-point favorites in Indianapolis.
I like Oregon a lot in this one. Give me them giving the 3.5 for sure over Penn State.
That coach at Penn State, give me the last big-time win he's had. And you'll be thinking a while. I'll go on Oregon.
I mean, yes, I agree. 100%. James Franklin's a fraud. Yeah, just a fraud. Give me Oregon in this one. Covering the 3.5. They get that first round bye in the 12-team playoff. Moving on, guys, to the ACC championship. Number 17, Clemson versus number 8, SMU. SMU, 2.5-point favorites in Charlotte.
SMU.
Yeah, this is a tough one, actually, for me. But I'm going to roll with SMU as well in this matchup. Just think that they'll take it in Charlotte, North Carolina in this one.
By the way, I forgot to mention, Bobby has Penn State. He's also got SMU in this game. And this is actually a clean sweep, guys. I'm surprised nobody's taking Clemson here. But I'm with y'all. SMU's just rolling. They got to limit those explosive plays from Clemson, though, in this matchup to kind of make me feel safe. -2.5. You know, I think if they know that if they lose, they might be out potentially, which is crazy to think about based off the incredible year that they've had. But give me the Ponies -2.5 in Charlotte. Moving on, NFL Week 14, and I did it again, guys. My picking for Thursday Night Football has got to be the worst. I don't think I've won a single game on Thursday night, but I can't avoid this matchup. It's one of the best matchups, if not the best matchup of the week. The Packers at the Lions. Lions 3-point favorites at home.
You know, I know the Lions are red hot, but I don't know. There's something about this game. I got a feeling about this Green Bay Packers. Give me the Pack getting 3 on the road here. I like what they've been doing. Jordan Love in this matchup, I think, is going to have a big night tonight.
GB, Packers.
Man, I thought I was going to get y'all there because I was liking the Packers in this one, too. Bobby's got the Lions -3.
Uh-oh.
And, I don't know, man. The Lions beat the Packers pretty handily just a few weeks back. And they're at home. I know their defense is undermanned, but they've been playing really well still. I'll take the Lions -3. This very well might be a push, guys. Moving on, we got the Saints -5 at the Giants.
Okay, Charlie, who did you pick? Because you said first
I just said
Packers.
I'm picking the Lions.
Okay, because you at first said Packers. Calm down now. We just want to make that straight.
All right, we got the Saints -5 at the Giants.
You know, Saints. I like, obviously, the Saints to win this game. The 5 points, it's definitely a little bit of a big number for me, but I just don't see anything worthwhile on this Giants team right now.
Other than Malik Nabers.
He's dealing with a groin issue. I know you don't think it's that big of a
deal. I know they're going to run the ball.
Right, Tracy's a good back.
Drew Locke running it at quarterback.
Sure, I just don't think they can keep up with the Saints. I'll take the Saints given the 5 on the road, even though I'm not confident in this pick at all.
I like the Saints here. I think they're a much better team than the Giants and
Agreed.
A much better frame of mind this late in the year.
Giants are terrible. Give me the Saints -5. Falcons at the Vikings, 5.5-point favorites in Minnesota.
Oh, give me the Vikings for sure. I don't think that things are going well at all for Atlanta, and I don't think they're going to rebound on the road here in Minnie.
Bobby's got the Vikings -5.5, and I'm with him here. Just Kirk Cousins, how he looked against the Chargers this past week. I know the Chargers got a good defense, but
yeah.
He looks awful right now.
Man, I'm going to go with Atlanta.
You were torn there. I could tell you were thinking about it.
Because, man, Kirk Cousins cannot play that bad again. He cannot play that bad again. And I think Atlanta can keep this close.
That is 8 games in about, what is this, 8 minutes, guys? Good job.
Woohoo!
Hey, we get a raise for that?
You get a loss this week, Mike, for that.
What? Come on.
I think, though, when we were
I'm going to get enough losses, Charlie. You don't need to give me another one.
Looking at those picks, too, going back with that Penn State and Oregon game with Cannon picking Penn State, I think he went with my old philosophy, trying to be different from the Pack.
No,
here.
I think he says eventually Franklin's going to get one. But I told him, Bob, man, how many times do you have to say that? I mean, every big game He has fumbled the ball, so to speak. And that's why I got to go with Oregon here. And eventually, Bob's going to be right. Eventually. I don't think it's this weekend.
Right, exactly. That was our pick six segment, folks. We're going to take a break. When we get back, get into some New York Giants talk. We're going to get with NewJersey.com beat writer Ryan Novosinski. He'll give us the latest on what's up with those G-men right after this. Stay tuned on WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back into Sports Talk as we're rocking and rolling here at the Treasure Chest Casino, getting ready for Thursday night football between the New York Giants, the Green Bay Packers, and
Detroit
Lions.
Well, I bet the Packers would want to play them tonight.
Sure. I got the Giants on the brain because we have their beat writer, Ryan Novosinski, on the line right now from NJ.com. Thank you so much for the time tonight, Ryan. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, but I don't know, man. That's kind of an insult you just slung at the Packers there.
Yeah, you're right about that. Ryan, this has been just a bad year for the Giants all the way across the board. And then you lose your best player in Dexter Lawrence to the elbow injury. And it's kind of an insult to the injury, so to speak. But do they do one thing really well on either offense or defense?
Well, they did. And that was, they're a good pass rushing team, but a lot of that, and you know, this is kind of a testament to the player he was because of Dexter Lawrence, right? He was as a nose tackle, he's still able to rank really high up there in sacks and pressures across the league. You take that away, and you still got to play the games and everything like that, and the players, it still matters to the players, but. There's not much to even pick apart with this Giants team anymore the rest of the season, man. It's kind of interesting the way that things have kind of transpired. But no, to answer your question, it's pass rush, but now that's kind of taken away because of that wrecking ball in the middle there that is now gone.
there's not a lot of meat left on the bone, so to speak. Malik Nabers, we saw him. I saw him from high school, and then he goes to LSU. And he never really had that issue at LSU. And while he's still a big play guy and he's an outstanding receiver, man, he got the dropsies. It's either 9 or 10 he's had this year. And that's unusual for him because he wasn't noted for that in high school or in college.
No, no, certainly not. And that was one of the things that, you know, like you said, that was an issue that I didn't think that we would see this season. It kind of has crept in. Now, granted, the quarterbacks that have been thrown to him this season, you got Daniel Jones, you got Drew Lock, and you got Tommy DeVito. Obviously, it's Drew Lock now. That's kind of, you know, that can almost really, you know, explain that there. But it's definitely an issue that I didn't expect to see. You expect him to kind of be that gamer-type wide receiver that really transcends. I think with a better quarterback in there, you'll start to see that dwindle a little bit. And listen, you look at the top of the league, I think it's Amari Cooper that leads the league in drops, and he's obviously a talented wide receiver. CeeDee Lamb ranks up there. Heck, him and CeeDee were having kind of a drops-off on Thanksgiving there for a little bit. But, you know, it's come to hurt them also this year, too. I mean, there was the Commanders game in week two, that crucial drop at the end of the game. I think it was near, like, the 10-yard line by Nabers. That really, you know, cost the team a win, pretty much. Another thing I thought would translate from LSU that hasn't is just his yards after catch ability. And that, you know, that's another thing that I think this offseason, whatever it is he's got to work on, it's the obviously the catching and then, you know, maybe the endurance or what else, what have you, the strength to break some of these tackles. I just thought a little bit more. He's been incredible, but, you know, there's you thought there would be a little bit more maybe.
Daniel Jones situation, which was a cluster, you know what, from almost day one. How much of that you blame on head coach, GM, or was ownership involved with that, with Daniel Jones?
Yeah, this was weird from the get-go, right? It was, you know, you have the player, obviously, you, going into the season, you knew that the injury guarantee was there, right? If he got injured and it was bad enough, the Giants were going to be on the hook for upwards to $23 million. Same thing. Derek Carr experienced the same thing in Vegas a couple years ago. So you have that in mind, and then it's kind of the question that's lingering on, right? Are they going to put Daniel Jones in bubble wrap, right? The general manager, Joe Shane, was asked about this as early as training camp. So then, you know, they start losing, obviously, and they start losing in droves, and then it really starts to come head on. So then, you know, the week, couple weeks ago now, when they finally made the decision to do it, it just dragged on, right? You thought that it was going to be like Carr in when he was with the Raiders, where, you know, you just tell him kind of, hey, pack your bags, like you're done, whatever. But apparently, it turns out the player has to be the one to volunteer that almost. Now, what's interesting about Jones is that he was still willing to waive his injury guarantee to stay with the Giants, but I think the Giants didn't really want kind of the sideshow to continue on. And then you see, you know, it stretches on into the week. He gets benched on Monday. He gets released on Friday. And then they lose 30-7. And then they lose the next game to Dallas, obviously. So it hasn't been a lot of winning. But, yes, I would say there's blame to be put on a lot here. But, you know, it's obviously ownership and management that gave him the contract in the first place.
So they in the Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward sweepstakes at this point, and they may have a high enough pick to get either one. The way the season's playing out for them, so quarterback would certainly be top of the list for them to go after. Other than that, the running back position, and I first got told about Tyron with Drew Brees, and because he saw him at Purdue. And he was like, Mike, right. I think he's a really good football player. He said he doesn't have a lot of mileage on him as a runner. And he's been, from what I've watched, man, he does a nice job. Now, he's got to be more protective of the football in heavy traffic. But he is kind of a tall-in-the-saddle runner. He's got a nice gait, sees the field well, and can get up there. He's been a nice surprise for them as a middle-round pick.
Ball security is job security. I just messed up the phrase a little bit there. But, yeah, no, he's definitely been a revelation for this Giants team. I mean, this 2024 draft class in general has kind of been, you know, one of the strong suits for general manager Joe Shane. It's probably the reason that, you know, if he does keep his job after the season, that people will point to this draft class because of, you know, how good it was. Although, you know, I don't think it's really good enough for him to keep his job, but that's a story for another day. Speaking on Tracy, though, specifically, like you said, I mean, Drew Brees saw it, you know, obviously the Purdue connection there. At Purdue, I just wrote a story on this very recently. He had to take a big gamble. He was, for 5 out of his 6 years in college, he played wide receiver. So in his senior year, his super senior year, pretty much, super senior year, he had to make a gamble. Okay, what do I do? Do I, you know, switch to running back? His running back coach that he knew pretty well was really, you know, insistent on that. He does that, and then he, you know, leads the Big Ten in yards per carry, and the rest is history. Obviously, he's with the Giants now, and he's pretty much doing a fine job in replacing Saquon Barkley, although that, you know, Giants obviously will not agree with that, and John Mara certainly won't agree with that, as, you know, he sees Saquon Barkley possibly winning the MVP this year, and he's just not sleeping well at night. He's not.
Yeah, you basically stole the question I was going to ask, because, man, when you lose a guy that is having that huge season and for a division rival, and, you know,
the knife goes even deeper,
man,
right?
It's down to you can feel where the wood is on the knife. That has to be a huge story in New York of how Saquon got away when it looked as though that wouldn't have been a lot of – it wouldn't have been a lot more money, so to speak, for them to kick in to have him to stay.
No, not at all. And this is, here's the deal. I don't think that it was necessarily a bad decision to let Saquon walk, to have Saquon leave, just because the Giants are a rebuilding team, and they obviously with the running back position and their line, especially the way that it is now with all the injuries, I just don't know that he would have been as productive with the Giants than, you know, the is of the Eagles. But, and there's a huge but there, he went to the Eagles. Like, that's the one thing. And, you know, we do these stories whenever he first came and he had his homecoming, so to speak, where he rushed for 176 yards, almost put college-type numbers up on the Giants. That's the one takeaway. All these we did these fan stories, right? We talked to these fans and you know, really gauged their opinion on it. The one thing they said was, look, if he went to Chicago, if he went to Seattle, wherever, New Orleans, we'll even throw New Orleans in there. Obviously, they won't need him, but just to throw a random team, it would have been fine. But he went to Philly, and now he's an MVP in Philly, and you just see it every time. I mean, he's running like every time he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he very clearly does, because how very publicly all this played out, you could just tell that there's that revenge factor for Saquon.
Ryan, the defense of this Giants team, like you said, has been able to get pressure, the sacks on quarterbacks, but they're not getting the takeaways. And I find it wild looking at the numbers. They got one interception on the year, and that's from a linebacker, nothing from the secondary. What's up with that?
The secondary play is bad, Steve. I can tell you that one.
Well, here's the funny thing, man. It's not even like a household name linebacker either. And I'm not even saying like I'm talking a household name for even the, you know, most sicko of all Giants head. This is Darius Musau who had this. Like, that is just something that it's going to be a trivia question one day, because this is now an NFL record. It's really, really bad. Yeah, the secondary has been a really, really weak spot this, you know, this season. And heck, their number one corner, Deontay Banks, he didn't practice today. So I don't – and, you know, even he's had his effort called into question a ton this year. I don't think that this – I think this record might, you know, stand pat this week against New Orleans. I don't think that any of these guys are going to step up and pick off Derek Carr there. But, you know, yeah, man, it's – things are really bleak there. Again, I you got to take a quarterback this draft. But, man, oh, man, if they could punt on that question, I think they would – there's a ton of other position needs that they need right now, and that – starts and ends really with the quarterback, the number one cornerback position especially.
They made the deal to get Brian Burns. We saw him here, saw him back in high school and then the college at Florida State, and he was outstanding pass rusher. He's a little thin-based, and teams will run at him to calm his nerves when he's trying to get off the edge as a pass rusher. To me, I don't know if he used the term disinterested, but he doesn't seem to be the most focused guy like we had saw when he was in Carolina, where he was a real menace there, either with a pressure or a sack. And the thoughts of how that deal went down, how would you evaluate Brian this year?
Well, this year, I think it's been kind of a disappointment, obviously, comparatively speaking to obviously the cost that it got him. And that's not even the trade. The trade is what it was, right? You spend a lot. But honestly, in a way, they kind of got a steal for it, you know, compared to the deal the Rams were going to give him. Two first-round picks they were going to give up for Brian Burns just a couple years ago, and the Panthers said no. Anyways, yeah, it's definitely been a bit of a letdown, although, you know, he does have, you know, he shows glimpses here and there, like you said, though, you know, kind of a slim guy, kind of a guy that you know, isn't necessarily making as much noise as you know, you would think for that contract, right? I think, honestly, what the deal with him is, he's 26, right? This was not just a win-now move, obviously, for, you know, the Giants. You know, I don't think they expected to win now this season. This was maybe, you know, a route to see, all right, we want Brian Burns to grow with our franchise, right? We don't know if he can be that transcendent kind of edge rusher like a Khalil Mack, right? When they made the Khalil Mack trade a couple years ago, or several years ago, obviously, that took them from, you know, being, that took the Bears from having, you know, just an all right defense to, okay, this is kind of transcends the team. That becomes their identity. I don't know if that necessarily was the mindset there with the Giants. Obviously, you want that to happen, but I think that having Brian Burns grow around a Dexter Lawrence, grow around a Kayvon Thibodeau, and kind of be, you know, in his ear a little bit, saying, you know, hey, you got to, you know, be better at your job too. Having them all grow together, I think that's kind of the idea with the Burns trade.
Ryan, looking at this team too, obviously with the disappointment, they going to press the reset button in a big way, getting rid of head coach and GM or one of them, you think, going into next season?
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, I go back and forth with it every week, right? Because John Mara sits there and he makes the big proclamation that, you know, they're safe, right? He said that after Saquon embarrassed the Giants, he sat there at a hall in New York City where he had a media availability. We were all there. And he said that he will not make changes during the season, and he does not anticipate making any changes this offseason. Now, that word anticipate held a lot of weight there, right? Let's see if – because I think, you know, they haven't won a game since then. If they lose out since then, I don't think there's any way that John Mara is going to stick to his guns there, because this is one of, I believe, if they go 2-15, this is one of six Giants teams, and this is their 100th season ever to just win two games. John Mara has too much pride in order to let that continue. And I know that in that same press conference, he said, hey, I wish I was a little bit more patient. The press conference was for a documentary about his father, Wellington Mara, obviously. And he said, something I wish I took away from my father was, you know, practicing a little bit more patience, right? But again, let's see how patient he is when he sees a 2-15 record potentially with all these injuries, man. I mean, the Giants are really beaten up right now. They're 2-10, but, you know, and they were bad before, but they're going to be really bad after this, man.
Yeah, and Ryan, I'm a Jersey boy. I'm wondering how those Big Blue Nation's doing over there. They got the two wins on the season and none at home, so I know the fans have to be fuming.
They are fired up, man. You know, I think the problem is right now, the worst thing that can happen to a team, especially for a John Mara-led team in their 100th season, their centennial season, is for fan apathy to set in. Look, they can boo all they want, and I think, you know, obviously the owner's not going to root for that, but it shows that the fan base is still there, still cares, right? If these fans, if the seats start getting empty, and I'm sure they will towards the end of the season here, I mean, watch out. That's when, really, when business is impacted by, you know, ownerships, the
management's decisions, that's when you'll really start to see Mara's call to action, so to speak, towards making changes in the offseason.
Ryan, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. And I'd say enjoy the game on Sunday, but I know it's probably going to be an ugly slugfest between these two.
Gentlemen, I think it will be. I think it's going to be one of those classic rock fights. Hopefully I can stay up. I certainly almost did not on Thanksgiving after eating all of Jerry's food.
Thank you, Ryan.
Ryan Novosinski, New York Giants reporter for NJ.com. Sunday, a noon kickoff right here, of course, on WWL Saints Radio. Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call. They'll be flying up tomorrow to New Jersey, get a little early acclimated to the weather out there. I know there was pretty windy conditions in Jersey today, so we'll see what it's like for Sunday's game.
So you coordinating tomorrow? Four to six?
Yeah, I'll be on 4 to 6 with Charlie. Me and him are hosting on Fans in the Pro /Sports Talk.
Okay, I was wondering how they're going to do that from the plane.
But, yeah, we got all kinds of technology.
I got you.
We're taking a break. Be right back with more as we get things rolling and closing out things, getting ready for Thursday Night Football here on WWL Saints Radio. Back here on Sports Talk, we were just talking about Saints versus Giants Sunday in New Jersey. Coverage will start 8 a.m. First Take with me and Charlie Long. Time for the Saints Nation to check in with us. 10 o'clock, join Bobby Hebert for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff. Then Game Time with Deuce and Hoss, High Noon. Turn down those TVs and sync up your boys. Then when it's over, sound off on the Ciroc Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Saints Giants, 10 hours of wall-to-wall coverage Sunday starting 8 a.m. right here on WWL and the Odyssey app. We are going to take a break. Be right back with more as we close things out. Get ready for Thursday Night Football here on WWL. Get ready for Thursday Night Football here as the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers will be facing off on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, if you switch it on over to 870 AM, that's where the Pelicans will be taking on the Phoenix Suns this evening, hoping that 9-game losing skid.
Kevin Durant.
No Kevin Durant for the Suns, but they still got Devin Booker.
Oh,
Devin
my Booker, God. Sorry. Devin, yeah, I don't know what it's been. I know it's over 50 twice. Back-to-back games.
Back-to-back games in the Smoothie King. Ooh. Unreal, right?
Yes, indeed. Man, he's been hot there. He finds him a little spot there, and man, poof.
Hopefully
poof,
having Herb poof. Jones back will help put the clamps on
Booker. Hopefully. Also tonight, and he's bounced around the league a little bit, the Lions had him on their practice squad, but they elevated Jamal Adams tonight.
Oh, wow, okay.
Former LSU, All-American, All-SEC safety, and because, man, they've been beat up in the secondary. They need help there. And so Jamal, who's a little bit too small for how he plays, man, he plays like he's a 6'4" guy, not a 5'10½" guy.
We are closing things out. Appreciate everybody for stopping by. Also, the great staff here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Before I leave, going to stop in the FanDuel Sportsbook, make a little wager for this evening and maybe for this weekend's games as well.
Come on.
Have a good one, folks. Me and Charlie Long will be back tomorrow for a special edition of Sports Talk with Hoss and Deuce flying out to New York. So be talking to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everyone. Good night.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.